I don't think I had ever had a longer Sabbath day. Normally, I look forward to a day of rest and worship, but that day, all I could do was wait. Well, wait and cry. Have you ever cried for so long and so hard that you don't have a single tear left? Finally, even before the sun rose, when the horizon was just beginning to lighten, I couldn't wait anymore. I had so many questions. Why? What now? Was it all a lie? There were no answers, I knew. I just needed to be where he was. I brought the spices and oil. He deserved a proper burial. I know, that seems silly as I look back on it. How did I think I was going to move that stone? As I walked, I imagined every scenario in my head. Perhaps the guards would help me roll away the stone. That was wishful thinking, I know. Romans, the men who murdered him, be kind. I even thought, maybe God would give me the strength to roll it away myself. Maybe I'd be arrested right away for being his follower. Maybe they wouldn't arrest me. Maybe they'd just kill me. I drove myself crazy thinking of all the possibilities. But when I got to his tomb, I realized I was wrong. I hadn't thought of everything. I never pictured this. In shock, I dropped the spices. I broke my eyes. And when I looked again, it was as I thought. The stone was rolled away. Couldn't they leave him alone, even in death? Was this as if the nightmare just wouldn't end? Turns out I did still have some tears left to cry. I didn't know what to do, and I couldn't bear this on my own, so I ran to Peter and John.
Sunday morning. John and I were still awake, wondering what was next. We were on edge because we just didn't know, well, didn't know anything for sure. Then we heard footsteps kind of pounding down the path of bare feet on the earth. Our hearts started to pound too. We didn't know it was coming, but when the mystery runner came into view, we instantly recognized Mary, our Mary. She struggled to catch her breath. She delivered. To us, it was the most distressing news you could imagine. The tomb had been somehow opened, and Jesus' body was missing. Without a thought or word, John and I broke into a full sprint towards the garden tomb. And when I arrived, I squinted at the dim light inside the tomb. I didn't want to get closer. All I saw was that empty spot where Jesus' body had been laid. Those strips of cloth that had been wrapped around him were tossed aside. That was all that was left of what I expected to find. Even with all that evidence, and it was, we still did not understand what the scripture was trying to tell us. And Jesus himself taught us about his rising from the dead. Still didn't get it. So we had nothing left to do but go home. I hope that no one saw us there.
They left. But I stayed. I needed to know, where is he? I had slowly gathered up all those spices, my tears dropping on the ground. Would the suffering never end? I didn't know what to do, so through my tears, I looked to the last place I saw him, his tomb. I just needed to see for myself. And to my shock, the tomb wasn't empty. This time, there were two men, angels I know now, dressed in white, and they asked me why I was crying. What a question! Why was I crying? Because I lost Jesus, and now he was gone again. All I wanted was Jesus' body, so I could do what I came here for, mourn him properly, anoint him with these spices in my arms. I turned to go, and through my tears, I realized that someone else was with us. I thought he must be the gardener. Who else would be there at that hour of the day? And I hoped that maybe he could tell me what happened to Jesus. Please, I asked, if you carried him away, tell me where he is, and I'll go get him. And then everything changed. He said my name, and I knew. I knew that voice. No one ever said my name like he did, with such love and compassion and joy. Teacher, Jesus, it's you. Not dead, not cold, not lifeless, not gone forever. Jesus, alive, before me, talking, looking in my eyes. My heart about stopped as I reached out to hold him, to see if he was real, touchable, Jesus in the flesh. I could have hugged him forever. But he told me I had to let him go. And he told me to go, to tell the disciples the wonderful news. Turns out I had still more tears left, but this time they were tears of joy as I ran through the garden, keeping my head turned toward Jesus until I couldn't see him anymore. And I threw the spices on the ground, no need of them now, and then ran to Peter and the others. My feet were moving faster than they ever moved, beautiful with good news. I have seen the Lord.
Our trip back to town, that took a lot longer than the trip out to the tomb. We weren't sure exactly what to make of what we just saw. And we hadn't been back long when we heard again the pounding of the feet again. And again, it was Mary. She was still crying. This time, she was smiling through her tears. And words were very different. They were words of strength, peace. She spoke these words in a way that I hadn't heard before. They were words of conviction and truth that couldn't be denied. She said, I saw the Master. She began to breathlessly tell us everything that she had seen, everything that had been said to her. Imagine that, Mary. The Mary that had traveled with us, the Mary that we knew so well, delivered the most important news in the whole of humanity. Jesus is alive. Can you imagine?
Well, we were in a kind of a state of excitement and awe. It's like the world was spinning around us. And that's really all we could talk about the rest of the day.
I mean, news like that, it's shocking. It's mysterious. It's unexpected. It's overwhelming. It's joyful. You know, really, there aren't words to describe. Jesus Jesus, in a thousand ways, tried to tell us what was about to happen. But we missed it. We just missed it. Even after he told us what he told us was going to happen, happened, we didn't fully understand. Quite frankly, I would think some of us began to wonder if Mary had actually laid eyes on the risen Lord after all. And the more we contemplated this risen body of our Lord, the more we thought about his missing body, the rumors of his resurrection, the more frightened we became. We locked ourselves together in a room, afraid that someone would be coming for us like they came for Jesus. We had good reason. The temple leaders were still pretty angry with those of us who had followed Jesus. Maybe they thought we had kind of staged this resurrection. And the Romans, they were ready to arrest anyone who might bring revolution or even disorder to their peace. Yeah, we locked the doors. We locked them as tight as we could. Then, without announcement, without fanfare, instantaneously, boom, Jesus was right there among us. He wasn't, and he was. Think we were frightened? Not a bit. We were terrified, I'm telling you. Mary reporting to us she had seen Jesus alive is one thing. His appearing right there in the midst of us, well, that's reality we just didn't record. But the first words out of his mouth were words that we heard from 6,000 times. Peace to you. Peace to you. It's something that our brothers said to each other all the time. This time, somehow, the peace that he spoke of came with a power and authority that sounded like you will have peace as you have never known. Oh, and just to make sure we couldn't confuse him with some kind of specter or a hallucination or maybe an imposter and kind of slip in, just so we would know, he showed us his hands and his side, molding us and challenging us and strengthening us, guiding us, protecting us. I mean, it was really like the master of that. Better day set. The story, the events surrounding it, the effects of the resurrection had on millions through the centuries, and continues even now. I suspect that most of us here this morning who began our relationship with church as perhaps children know the story. Perhaps you've only learned of the resurrection as an adult. But I'm here to tell you, the resurrection that Peter and John and the disciples and Mary, the same resurrection they experienced and the change that came in them is still available to us. Knowing the events of the passion and the results of the resurrection is laudable. That's good. You may know this story inside and out, but I think knowledge is a little worth if it doesn't produce something in us. In short, does the resurrection change you? Does it matter to you? Does it make a difference? Will it make a difference to you tomorrow or next week or any other time? I'm glad you're here this morning. the story of Jesus being raised from the dead? Is it real to you? Or is it just some mythological tale? Is Jesus genuinely alive in you? Do you sense his presence, comforting, giving strength, expanding your understanding of his love? Do you experience the work of the living Christ? The resurrection, Mary and Peter and many others there. Is that growing more real in you? The way you live your life? We truly want that way of living for you as we celebrate the resurrection. I know, I think you know, that our lives can be better and more effective as we allow this living Christ, this very same Christ that stepped from the tomb in Palestine 2,000 years ago, to inhabit our lives. My prayer is that you leave here today with a greater awareness that Christ rose from the dead and is alive right here, right now. If you're here, and somehow this story is new for you, or perhaps this is the first time you were certain of its reality, I invite you to accept the forgiveness that Jesus has for you. There's a forgiveness paid for. Sweat blood. And I pray that you would accept his leadership from this day forward in every part of your life. And I invite you to make that decision, whether publicly as we sing in just a few moments, or in private with Pastor Melissa or myself. We want you to know this resurrected Jesus. Perhaps you're here this morning and you found yourself kind of drifting away from God. And you know you should be following him more closely. You know that you should be allowing his living spirit to be born alive in you. Maybe today is the day you kind of get things straight with him. If there's any decision, debate this morning. The Spirit of God is moving you. Pastor Melissa and I are waiting. We'll be waiting down front. You can speak to us later and say, I'd like you to pray with me, or I'd like you to meet me later. I hope God's touched you.